welcome to Season 7 of The Process Podcast, an interview series exploring the process of survival as a creative. For this season, we're going back to our roots and talking to all sorts of creatives from a wide variety of industries, backgrounds, and creative endeavors about how they make it all work, from mental health to relationships to money to the creative process itself, and a whole lot more. I'm your host, Shannon Byrne, and I'm just trying to figure it out like the rest of us. Big thanks to the band Blessed for letting us use our song Endure as our intro music for this season. You can find their music at Blessed, that's B-L-E-S-S-E-D, band.bandcamp.com, or wherever you buy your music. And to Hannah Spencer for all of the design and branding and the strategy work she does for us. And Lonnie Webb for running our social media. Thank you for listening. Hope y'all dig it. Hello. Happy New Year. Happy 2020, y'all. I already said that in the intro episode, I guess. I'm recording this before the intro episode, so it's my first time technically saying Happy New Year. Really stoked to kick off this season, Season 7, Episode 78, with an interview with brothers Caleb and Micah Daly, who are musicians and the co-founders of Moon Records, a Phoenix, Arizona-based minimal art label focused on creating minimal physical music that represents the artist's work. Some of the artists that they've worked with and released records for have included Tashi Dorhi, Little Wings, Lethix, Tori Kudo, Lana Kelly, Strobe Talbot, and more. In this episode, we chat about their A&R process from end to end, the challenges and benefits of running a community-focused indie label, what that even means. We say the word community a lot in this episode. The value of their day jobs and hard work, and how those jobs and all that hard work have shaped the label, and how the balance of having day jobs and families have also shaped the label and the role that all of that plays into their mental health. We also go into some of the ins and outs of running a label and how it came to be and all of that good stuff. I really dug this episode. I sat with Caleb and Micah when I was driving across the country, made a pit stop in Phoenix and then Tucson, and got to grab coffee with them and have this conversation in person, which was rad. I'd definitely like to spend more time in Phoenix. It seemed like a cool city. So I hope you dig it. You can find links to Moon Records, which is just moonrecords.com. But you can find links to that and everything we talk about and reference in this episode, as well as show notes at theprocess.co. Hope you dig it, and we'll catch next week. Thanks for listening.
My name is Micah Daly, and I am a co-owner of Moon Records. Is that enough?
Yeah, we'll go deeper later.
Okay. I am Caleb Daly, and I'm also a co-owner and co-founder of Moon.
And Moon is just you two for now, right?
Yeah.
Or do you have other people?
No, it's just us.
Just you?
Yeah. Two of us officially.
Okay.
I think we have another person on the paperwork, so.
Yeah. Okay.
How do you split up responsibilities? Like, what are the... Do you have, like, defined roles, or do you both do everything?
That's a good question. We've kind of separated responsibility by skill set just naturally.
Mm-hmm.
We're, like, trying to, like, put that a bit more in concrete lately. Like, what do you want to do? What should I do? It's just mostly skill set. So since I work in marketing, I've ended up being the marketing guy and handling all that, and along with that has come like the web, all the website stuff and all of our social media channels and all the technical stuff like that. And then Caleb works in purchasing and warehouse type of environment, so he handles a lot of the nitty-gritty of like all the production and all that,
and then also like A&R.
Well, how do you find your artists? Yeah, I'm going to start there and we'll work back.
it's purely out of, like, just people that I've been obsessed with, their work and stuff, and people that have, like, insanely inspired me in the way that I do my work and my art and stuff like that. And you can see from the beginning, like, how things have, like, evolved over the years. And, like, at the moment, I'm, like, really obsessed with more freeform stuff, so like So, like, you could see, like, those are things that, like, that's a lot of the stuff we're working in right now is, like, more, like, freeform music in the last couple of years. It's, like, just purely what we're into and what we're obsessed with at that moment.
Cool. Yeah. Your artists are very, like, artsy.
Yeah.
And maybe, I would imagine, hard to find for the average person. Like, I hadn't known most of the names I've seen on your label, like, yeah. Other than Kyle.
Yeah.
He's probably the only one I really know.
Yeah.
How do you, like, discover that stuff?
I think mostly friends. And then when you start, like, going down those rabbit trails of, like, what my friends have opened me up to, then you just find, like, a ton of stuff within the genres and stuff. Specifically my friend James, I play in a band with him called Soft Shoulder, and that's his band, and he, like, he runs a label called Gilgongo, and he introduces me to quite a bit of, like, freeform music and artists and stuff like that.
My name is funny today, I saw a bunch of Soft Shoulder signs on the road, and I was like, it's a weird sign.
Yeah.
Okay, never mind.
Yeah.
Really, like, seen that before, I don't think. I do a lot of driving.
Yeah.
I was like, when you said that, I'm like, I've heard of that. No.
Yeah.
Saw that sign a bunch today.
Yeah.
Yeah. What's the process of when you, like, discover an artist you love and you're like, we have to have them on Moon? What does, like, it look like from that point on to get them?
Just, I feel like cold calling.
Yeah.
And then, sorry, but I think it's a lot of, like, mostly relationship centered. Like, if we vibe pretty well together. And, like, honestly, like, I love a ton of people, their music, but I think that, like, the relationship between people that we're working with is even more important than just releasing their stuff. So, like, we care a lot about having, like, good collaborative relationships with people, so.
It kind of gets into, like, what we value as a label, and we can talk more about that if you want. But, yeah, it's lately it's been a lot of, like, it'll start with kind of a cold email, and then we'll, like, somehow get connected with somebody through this person and then get connected to more people. So a lot of our current relationships started with one person and then kind of blossomed into, like, a whole tree of cool artists and their connections. So
yeah, have you had, like, an artist on and then have them be like, tell their friends that they should release on
them? Yeah, we get a lot of that. We get, like, emails from people who have heard of us or been told about us from people we've worked with or just fans of artists. We get a lot of that, those kinds of connections. For example, John from Deerhoof did some work for a release we did with Jad Fair. And so because of that relationship that Jad had with John, John has done more work with us, and we've kind of established a relationship with him, and he's been doing a lot of projects with us, which has been a really cool relationship that I don't know if we would have just gotten on our own, you know?
Yeah.
So it's pretty special.
Especially, I feel like some of these artists have a lot of people reach out to them, so it's, like, a matter of whether or not you click.
Yeah.
And also, not taking it personally if you don't. I don't know if you've run across that at all. Like, have you reached out to an artist and then, like, one of you be like, nah, this isn't gonna work?
Wait, one of us or the artist?
Or, like, either the artist or you guys, yeah.
Yeah, that's probably the majority.
Really?
Yeah. I mean, like, there's a lot of dream people that we work with that definitely wouldn't know that we're even a thing.
Right, but that has to do with, like, your size, right? And not necessarily you.
I would hope so. Yeah, I definitely hope so.
Sometimes you'll just never know.
Yeah.
You just won't get a response, or, you know. I mean, there's also just the, like, we try to establish the expectation very early on. Like, this is what you can expect from working with us, because we want to maintain the relationship and we want them to know exactly what they're getting into so that they can, you know, kind of know what to expect or decline the offer early on, you know?
Mm-hmm.
We try to be very, like, open with the artists up front. Like, we're small. We focus on a very niche area of releases, and And then, you know, do you want to do that? Yeah. is that something you'd want to pursue? So,
because like in the end, with relationship being the most important thing to us, I would be way happier not releasing their music than like ruining a friendship.
Yeah.
Right. Yeah.
So, I mean, I don't know if it would ruin a friendship, but just like, yeah, I think we care about people and like hoping that their expectations are met.
Yeah. Yeah. So when you are telling them, here's what to expect from us, you mentioned like size and the type of like record you want to put out, but can you elaborate on that?
Yeah, I mean, Caleb was probably
of like how many records we'll put out,
how we can like how we could pay them or not pay them, or but like how they would
be compensated
for working with us.
Better question: like, if I was an artist interested in working with you guys, like, what would you tell me? Like, this is what our process looks like. This is like what to expect from being an artist.
Yeah. Okay, so first of all, we're not like a conventional label. There's no contracts. Yeah, it's all relational. We try to establish the relationship and just be honest and communicate clearly. Part of it is contracts kind of set you up for that type of relationship, if that makes sense. Yeah. Like, it sets you up for that like, this is a very contractual process that we're beginning, where that's, first of all, not the type of relationship we want to establish, but we also just aren't lawyers. Like, we don't know how to write contracts, so it's also just we don't know how, like, to write a good contract. Yeah. But
we wouldn't want that.
Yeah, but we would.
Say there's things online that can help you with that.
So we don't have contracts. We handpick all of our releases, meaning it's like Caleb said, it's stuff that we want to get behind and put our money in and get, you know, full force represent, because it is coming out of our pockets up front. Everything is from our work and our time and our money and all of that up front. And so if something flops, it's us, it's on us, which in turn affects our families. And we've never been good at like being super risky, like risk takers, so we try to be as calculated as possible, as much as you can with running a label. So that's one way we try to establish things up front, is being cost effective, and then we'll explain what they're going to get out of it. So we'll kind of set, this is how many records we'll give you, and you can do whatever you want with them. And then obviously, like, digital distribution, kind of like setting up like how that's going to work with them.
So are you doing that for them too?
It depends. It depends on the artist. There's a couple who have asked us to handle it, but there's very few artists that we've distributed digitally.
We prefer usually not to, because a lot of the people that we do work with mostly record their music themselves, and so there isn't like upfront studio costs and stuff that we're like helping do for most of the people.
Right.
So I would prefer that they just do the digital stuff and get all the money themselves. Yeah, like, I don't want to be in the middle of that, just because we make music too, and I think like the idea of putting in all the sweat and tears into like making it and then having somebody else be in the middle of it is a weird situation.
Totally. That makes sense.
Does that answer your question as far as what to expect though? Is there anything else you want to? I don't know if I covered everything really well.
They're using Moon for you to deal with the pressing and what the, because you do records,
right? Yeah. Records, cassettes. Just those two formats right now.
So like the pressing and all that, and the distribution of the physical media. Okay.
Yeah, so I guess what you're asking then is like what they would get out of working with us? Like why release with us? Okay, so we focus on creating minimal physical music that represents the artist's work. So each work is represented differently to stand with the music itself as a whole representation of the piece. So music with the physical medium kind of mishmashing together. And so the process is very collaborative. We're working with the artists to come up with a piece that represents their album or what they feel represents their album well.
So like the art and stuff you're collaborating with them on?
Yeah, okay. We're working with them.
The whole package of what it all looks like. And
yeah.
Like if there's any like weird notes or art inside and stuff
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, exactly. And then also we're a limited edition label. So part of it is we want them to know that we're making something that their fans will be stoked about, mm-hmm. because like we're record collectors ourselves, so like getting a limited edition record of our favorite band means a lot to us, right? It's something that we're proud to display in our houses and show to our friends, and so like that's part of it as well. It's something that fans can be excited about, the artists can be excited about, and,
totally. Are you selling directly to fans, or are you also selling to like record stores and stuff, or like through a
we have distributors too.
Okay.
Yeah,
cool.
For like, so if it's just like 100 cassettes or something, then we wouldn't. We would just do direct to fans. But for like bigger runs of stuff, we have distributors.
Cool.
Yeah, for that. But yeah, I think like what he was saying about the design and packaging, like trying to make something that focuses on the material that needs to be focused on. So making sure that all the packaging is in harmony and not taking away from the experience that should be like the focal point of the piece.
Right.
Does that make sense? Yeah.
To visual people, probably.
Yeah.
What does that collaboration process look like with for the art and the visual stuff when you're working with an artist?
It changes.
Everyone
is so different. I mean, with someone like Kyle from Little Wings or Jad, they're artists. They're visual artists, and so they created the visuals for it. But for people who aren't visual artists as well, there's a process of working with finding an artist to help create the art, or
someone that
working.
Would display it, and like some art that would be a good representation of the sonic music on it, like that medium.
So it looks really different.
Yeah. And some have an idea, some don't.
Yeah, totally.
Or some just like figure something out and show it to
and
me.
And some just, yeah, exactly, like totally trust us to find something. So I think our latest release is one of the coolest examples of that. We're releasing a 7-inch soon, and it's with a local artist, one of our favorite local artists, and she just kind of like, you guys can run with this. And so we asked Kyle to get involved, and so like he made the visuals for it, and then her husband helped with that as well. And so it was kind of this like really collaborative and kind of pulling in the resources that we have to like make something that really represents her songs well. So that was one that I was like really excited about, because I feel like we were able to get so many people involved in the process.
That's good when it's a positive thing.
Yeah, right.
Not like a herding cat thing.
Yeah.
So when did you start Moon?
2013. It was started out with, we were just doing like super limited CDRs.
Okay.
For and like we just had like these ideas. We're like, I feel like it would look cool to do a CDR like this. And then we like started doing it. We were stoked on it. Now, I mean, I would be like embarrassed like the way it looked probably. But
I still think they looked really cool. We would buy these really weird-looking, like PlayStation CDs. So, like, they would be completely blacked out on the bottom.
Yeah.
And then, or they'd be, like, bright colors, like bright purple or something.
Yeah.
And then we would make these, like, folding art sleeves for the CDs to go in, and then we would wrap it all in a polyvinyl sleeve that it would all go in. I thought it looked really cool. But, like, nobody buys CDs anymore. So after a while, we're like, we're not really, like, moving any of these things.
Are you just, like, giving them out for free? Or
pretty
like,
much,
yeah.
Pretty much.
I love a good, like, dollar CD.
Yeah.
But yet cassettes have come back.
Yeah.
So,
mm-hmm. Yeah.
You know.
It's cool.
Why did you start it? How did it come to be?
It started with, I was living it with Caleb and his wife. We've always done music together. We're brothers, if we haven't said Caleb and I are brothers. So we grew up, like, making music all the time. We've had, like, a lot of different projects together and separately. And so we were, like, looking for ways to, like, make something physical. Like, any musician listening, like, I'm assuming, like, always wants, like, something physical to show or to give to friends or,
yeah.
You know, like, there's always that, like, I want
so much
cooler record.
Than being like, here's my band camp link.
Yeah, right? Or there's something, I don't know, that, like, solidifies you as an artist. Not really, but, like, it feels like it when you have something physical. So we were looking for a way to do that, and we decided to, like, make up a label of our
but
own.
But on top of that, too, I think, like, beyond just having a physical thing, there's also, like, a community that is also built inside of that, where, mm-hmm. like, there's, like, artists that are kind of band together by, like, a name that they all, like, share.
Right.
You know what I mean?
Yeah.
So there is, like, there is that type of community built in that, too.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that that's kind of a cool, special thing
to
be a part of. A lot of what has happened has been just, like, purely out of the things that we love. So
mm-hmm.
it's, like, it's cool to, like, look through and be like, man, like, I love all these people's work. And,
right.
like, we've been able to, like, be a part of it in some small way,
mm-hmm.
you know?
Yeah.
In the beginning, were you putting out, like, your own music or friends' music?
Yeah.
It's our music
yeah.
and just friends that here locally
love, yeah.
and guys, like, all folks around town that we really, really loved and were really excited about their music and what the, you know, what they were creating. And so it was just a way to make something for them and something for our friends around town who listen to local music as well.
So
that's how it started, and it's changed a lot since then.
Well, it's become, like, something that we never expected it to be, really.
Can you elaborate on that a bit? Like, how it's changed? What that has looked like? Why you think it's changed?
Yeah, I think the scope of it was never really thought it would become greater than just, like, our small community in town.
Mm-hmm.
Now we're working with people that have, like, idolized for so long that live in, like, Japan and stuff like that. Like,
you have at least one, like, Japanese artist.
Yeah,
right?
Exactly. Yeah. So I've loved his music for, like, a long time, and it's just, like, bizarre.
What's his name?
Tori Kuda. He's been making some, like, rad stuff since 70s, 80s. I mean, just that in specifically. I remember when we were just starting out, like, even earlier on, working with Lana
mm-hmm.
in town. We were
yeah.
just, like, a huge fan of her, and we were just like, this is as big as it's gonna get.
Yeah. We were just, the you kind of set bars, like, this is what, like, if we could get there, like, we'll be so stoked, you know? And, like, we did, like, we've, like, hit a couple of those things where you just, like, you know, you hit that bar, and then the next one is, like, unreachable, and somehow you get there as well. And so I guess it's a relatively natural progression. Like, it's by no means quick or escalated.
Yeah.
It's been over 5 years now. Like, it's been a long time of us just, like, chipping away at it and kind of allowing it to change and morph. For me, when we first started, and still, but even more so, there, like, starting Moon meant a lot more than just making a record label. Like, to me, it was, like, a way for us to be a part of our community
mm-hmm.
and to participate in our community and to connect with our community, to keep saying that word. And so it was this is a way that I can care for my city and care for the people that I love here, even though it's very small to, like, make a CD. It was like sweet purple CD. But it, like, for some reason meant so much to us. And so, like, that was kind of our, like, our way of being a part and making our own community. I think that that's something that we still hold on to, but like the things we do now have changed. You know,
right.
We're not.
And you're working with like international artists. Yeah, like, we're people outside of Phoenix.
Yeah, yeah, well, and we're not doing CDs.
Right.
You know, there's certain things that we've like held on to, and there's just natural growth that I think is really good. You know, and so Moon is still about physical music. It's still about caring for our community in whatever ways that can be.
I think too, to add to that is like even working with people internationally, I feel like it's still enriching our town because
right.
we're like our town is still a part of it. You know
yeah.
what I mean?
Yeah, totally. You're spreading the word of a Phoenix-based label
yeah.
and also bringing in some culture.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah.
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 That's cool. Yeah.
You both have full-time jobs.
Yeah.
This isn't the thing that I thought of. It'll come eventually.
Yeah.
What does that balance look like? Like, how much time are you spending on Moon? And you have families too, right?
We do. It looks different for both of us. Caleb puts a lot more time into it. There's like kind of an uneven balance of...
No.
Even though I'm talking the most on
no.
this podcast, Caleb definitely does the
podcast.
Caleb does the most work. I don't know. What do you got to say?
I also remembered my question, which is related, some kind of.
Yeah.
Has a learning curve of like learning how to deal with distributors and all that stuff and pressing. Like, what has that learning curve look like? You don't have to like go into details, but.
Yeah. No. It's. I mean, it's been a very like that end of it is within the last few years, and it's been like a very sharp, quick learning curve.
Yeah.
Trying to like. To learn all that stuff and research as much as possible. And, like, I owe an insane amount of gratitude to that guy James I was telling you about.
Mm-hmm.
He has been running Gil Gongo for, I don't know, maybe, like, 12 years or something.
Yeah.
And he's been, like, he'll answer any of my calls and texts and, like, really help guide me in a lot of that stuff. I mean, the amount of time that he's spent, like, helping me with things has been very, very helpful.
Yeah.
But yeah, balance-wise.
Balance-wise. It's kind of just been the way that it's always been. So, I don't know what it would be like to just do Moon. We work on it as much as possible because we are, like, passionate about it. But at the same time, our work with that is, like, equal to our day jobs.
Okay.
There's, like, a level of, like, value that I have for just working, like, a blue-collar job that I think is important in making even Moon what it is.
Mm-hmm.
And, like, even when we were starting out, we would talk a lot, too, about the way that we want things to, like, music to be valued is alongside of, like, everyday workers. Like, just, like, on the same pedestal. These are all equally beautiful things and equally enriching our city. And providing jobs, and if we do good at our day job jobs, those companies can grow too, and like
yeah.
we can hire more people.
That's always been an important reminder for both of us. I think I'm very much guilty of this, but there's kind of a stigma within the arts of like
if we could just get
out of our 9-to-5 and like
yeah.
you know, be able to do art full time. And there's the awakening, I don't know
yeah,
if you want to
so.
Call it that, for us, where we were just, like, had this revelation of, like, man, work is really valuable, and going to our jobs and caring for that job. And so I think that there's a way of, like, valuing the very mundane things. And one of those is, like, going home to our kids and caring for our family and our partners and our friends and stuff. Like, all of those things kind of wrap into the mundanity of life, you know?
Yeah.
Is that a word?
All the mundane things.
Yeah, it's a word now.
Yeah.
So there's no real... It's not a goal to do Moon full-time?
Oh, it's for sure a goal.
Because like I'm like, it's genuinely something that I'm like in love with. Like, I love doing it.
Yeah.
And if we could get to that point, that would be a dream. I also can't separate the idea of like not waking up and giving my family a kiss on the head early in the morning and, like, heading to work and getting coffee and, like, all of these things have also, I think, shaped Moon in a weird way. Like, okay. these kind of, like, repetition and, like
minimal,
like, yeah. simple lives have, like, developed in, like, what we value and why we want to value certain things like that.
Okay.
So I think we
come through like simplistic packaging and art and stuff.
Yeah.
There's a when you have such a busy life, figuring out how to like simplify things has become more and more and more and more valuable to me, like or more and more important to me. And I'm like really bad at it, and I'm not there. And like so, like if your next question is like, what's your secret? I don't have one. Because, like, I'm still super bad at this, but I do really value coming up with how I can, like, live more simply so that I can, care for the things that I consider important.
So it's not, you're not asking yourselves or each other, like, how can we spend less time on Moon or, like, streamline things or whatever that looks like. It's how can I streamline other parts of my life? Is that kind of
sure. Like, it's kind of the whole thing. I mean, like, if I can streamline Moon, then I can give more time to my family.
Right.
If I can streamline my job or, like, getting up a little bit earlier so that, because I work from wherever, so if I get up a little earlier and, like, go and do my job, then I can come home and spend time with my family.
Yeah.
You know, like, there's ways of, like, juggling things in our lives so that we can distribute our time and our, you know, the things that we value.
Right. Yeah. So you work remotely.
Mm-hmm.
And then I'm assuming you work early,
Yeah. And I work in an office, too.
Yeah.
But I think with what you were saying, though, about the busyness is, like, that's, like, a huge, huge part of our life. Especially one aspect is I have, like, a lot of anxiety and, like, depression and, like, just mental health issues, and so getting the busyness down is very important to me. So and that seeps into our packaging and stuff, something that is not invasive, something that can like be implemented into someone's life and like enrich someone's life and not be like an extra thing.
So that is interesting. We're talking about like how we can simplify our lives, but you guys are producing
something to
add.
Totally. I love physical. I have a thing for physical media, but also I live out of a couple bags.
Right. Yeah.
So my record's in Portland, unfortunately.
Yeah. No, it's a super interesting conversation.
Yeah.
Like to get into that. I had someone like kind of dog us about making physical art. Like because you can have everything on a little hard drive, like why create more waste?
Right.
And like I don't know if there's any way to argue that with someone who doesn't already value physical art.
Right.
Like, I don't even know where to begin other than, like, I just think that there's a difference in waste and
creating
art. Yeah.
And I think you make time and space for things that you love. And, like, allowing an artist that I love to take space in my house is important to me, and I want them to take that space,
right.
And I want to make the space for that because I love it so much, and it like enriches my life. It's something that I value.
Yeah, I was in San Francisco for 3 months, which is the longest I've been for in a while, and I like put some of my favorite books that I happen to have with me like on the shelf, and it changed everything.
Yeah.
It's so true.
It's
true.
Yeah, that's true.
If I had records, I would have put those on the shelf too.
We have like, my wife and I bought this house, and it had like these really beautiful built-in shelves, like a whole wall of shelves. And so like my dream is to like fill those with like books and records, you know. That's a lot of, like, I'm not even close. That's I realize that's a lot of records, but I'm also very picky with, like, the records that I buy, so it'll probably take a lifetime. But, yeah, like, having that set up in my living room, like, it sounds cheesy, but it, like, really does make it feel like home to me. Like, walking in and, like, having all these things that I love, like there, you know.
Totally.
It's really special.
Yeah. For the depression and anxiety stuff, which I also experience, really, do you feel that having another project on top of everything, does that help, or does it add to it, or a little bit of both, depending on the day?
I think it helps in the sense of, like, this is something I'm genuinely, like, I love doing. So I think that that helps, but I also, like, I have to manage my expectation on that because I don't want my whole life and, like, who I am to be determined by things that I do,
right,
necessarily. And so, I, like, there is a sense of, yes, it does help, but also, yes, it does make me more anxious, but also constantly trying to assess, like, okay, these aren't the things that make me who I am. The label isn't what makes me, like, the person that I am. Hopefully it's the other way around, that the label is determined by who we are.
Right.
And not determining our like, self-worth and stuff.
Yeah. I have a tough time with that. I tend to attach myself to my projects way too much.
Me too.
Like,
too.
When
me
a sauna day ended, it was...
Yeah.
Like, I'm still grieving it.
Yeah. Yeah. No, yeah. That makes sense.
Yeah. A friend that actually texted me today, she's like, I just realized I miss curating. Fuck you.
Don't remind me.
Yeah. I'm like, just heal that wound.
And like you were saying, don't ask me how I do it.
Yeah.
Because it's like, it's still something that I'm constantly thinking about all the time.
Right.
It's like,
well, self-awareness is the first step, right?
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. No, that's
for
so
sure.
True.
It's crazy. Yeah. It's super, it's like a weird balance that I don't know if we'll ever figure out. But it's, I don't know, it kind of goes into, like, the mundane things.
Yeah.
It's continuing to work through that for us.
Yeah.
I wonder, too, something I've seen and, like, I've heard on other podcasts and seen friends do, too, when an organization, a community, starts really small and it's just you're, like, so involved as you grow and, like, start to delegate a little bit more, and then, like, it starts to also, like, bring in those people's personalities and identities. I wonder if then, because I've never had something grow to be that big, I wonder if then it becomes a little bit easier to detach from it, because it's still yours.
Yeah,
you know what I mean? I
never thought about that. That does make sense, though.
Right.
To, like, have a little bit more of, like, a farther away relationship with it.
Right.
Maybe. I don't know.
It's I have a really hard time imagining Moon not being in our complete control.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Which is probably bad if we
true.
Want it to grow. But
well,
that's true.
Yeah. That's all about those growth goals, right? Like,
right.
If you do want to keep it small, then you can't keep control forever. But if you want it certain.
But it's also, like, I think one of the things that's so hard for me is to be like, I would feel so anxious and guilty asking someone else to, like, care as much as I do.
Yeah.
Do you know what I mean?
Yeah.
Like,
but also no one ever will.
Yeah,
it's
no,
not
for
there,
sure.
So it's
yeah,
just
for
having
sure.
that conversation at lunch.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah.
Like, and asking someone to, like, help financially or something. Like, if someone was, like, really that a part of everything.
Yeah,
like,
be like a partner.
Yeah, it would
yeah.
be terrifying.
Yeah. So I work in WordPress, which is, we've talked about this. But, like, the more I, like, get into that world, the more I realize that, like, the problems that, like, we run into with running a business or, like, being a part of any community are, like, they're the same everywhere. Like,
right.
Communities are running into those issues all around us. Is, like, what happens when you get this big, or how do you keep it going if it's always this small?
Right.
You know, like, every community or organization has to, like, kind of face those barriers to continue, which is we've faced probably every year or every month.
Yeah.
Like, there's been seasons where you just are like, are we going to keep this going? Like, is it really worth, like, us putting so much into it?
What do you look at when you're making that decision? Like, what factors are helping you to determine?
For me, at least, and Caleb can... I'd like to hear his answer to that, too. What factors into, like, us keeping it going? For me, it's varied, like, at different stages of my life. Probably the first times that we've had to look at that, there's times where it's like, this is so much of what I enjoy doing. Like, it's an outlet. Like, it's a way to express ourselves. I don't really like that phrase because it feels weird, but yeah, it really is. Like, it's a way
to create something.
Yeah, exactly. It's like a way of creating something. And then there's been times where I've looked at it and been like, this is all I'm doing creatively.
Yeah.
And I need this.
Right. Yeah.
You know, like, I really need this right now because I haven't made music in a year, you know, or whatever it is. Like, there's, like, this is literally the only creative thing I have right now. So, like, just depending on where I'm at in my life, I've been able to look at Moon as like a different, at a different value level. So,
it's a hard question. I honestly think it just comes down to, like, there's something about the community of, and the feeling of curating, making music and stuff like that I just am obsessed with. Like, I want to do it forever. But there are times when you're like, no one cares. Like,
yeah.
Why am I doing this?
Yeah.
So, like, a lot of times it feels like you're just shooting into the dark a little bit. Mm-hmm. And hoping that somebody, like, hoping that you can make someone's life a little bit more enriched and more, like, better. I don't know why I like it so much, but I just like it.
And you are interacting with the artist, too. And
yeah.
I don't know if this is me projecting, but I know when I get, like, a yes from someone I really respect, that, like, sometimes keeps me going.
Yeah, that's true.
Like,
that it is
feels
true.
Good. Totally.
Yeah.
So, like, I respect this person, and they're...
There's, like, a mutual...
Like, seeing my platform as, like, an opportunity or whatever.
Yeah, it's very true.
Yeah, that's happened a lot lately, where you're just like, well, I guess we're going to keep... I guess we're, like, good for a while. Like, we just got a really sick yes.
Yeah. All right, so before I ask you the questions I ask everyone, can you talk about the Phoenix music scene a little bit? I know nothing about
it.
Yeah.
So. Yeah. Well, you we were... Before we started recording, we were talking about the LA scene, and it sounded like what you were describing sounds kind of similar to us, to Phoenix. It's pretty amazing. I mean, a lot of people don't really expect Phoenix to have, at least in a lot of interactions I've had, people don't really expect there to be such, like, a rich and diverse and active art scene here.
Mm-hmm.
But there really is. I mean, you just gotta look for it,
yeah.
You know? Yeah.
It's like a lot of pockets of cool stuff going on.
Yeah.
But also, I think you're right, like, we have a lot of diverse communities, too, which also...
How are we defining diverse?
Like...
Color,
yeah,
shape,
yeah,
size,
everything,
sound,
everything,
yeah.
Yeah, backgrounds, lifestyles.
That's, like, actually one of the things that, like, is so beautiful that, like, I love the most about our city is, like, just everything. It just feels like there's... Like, it just feels like a good, diverse community, like, across the board.
Yeah.
Yeah.
One thing I've, like, in recent years, probably in the last 3 years or so, I've, like, really noticed this, like, beautiful representation of, like, Native people and then also immigration or immigrants coming to Arizona, and, like, the art that's been coming out of that and representing that has been really, really beautiful and really special. There's just a lot of really cool things happening. We have a lot of really cool music venues, like, that have popped up in the last probably 10 years or so.
We have one of the longest standing DIY venues.
Yeah.
Really?
Yeah.
Like,
that's pretty cool.
The trunk space has been a huge part of the scene and growing.
Mm-hmm. Nice. DIY spaces are so important.
Yeah.
Like, all ages spaces are so important in general.
Yeah.
Aren't just, like, dying off.
Yeah.
It's also true. I feel like, the issue with DIY spaces when they're, like, literally unsafe.
Yeah.
Like,
yeah.
You know.
Luckily, they're in a good situation right now, and it's still growing, and they give opportunities to so many people to like, become who they are.
Yeah. Genre-wise, is there any, like, do any genres stand out here? And it's tough, especially...
I think our answer would just be, like, the stuff that we enjoy. That's good.
Yeah.
I think those are the things we're listening
to. Yeah, like, I could rave about, like, the stuff that's been really sticking out to me, but I know for a fact that there's so much more, like there's these, like, Caleb said, the pockets that are, like, really thriving that I'm not a part of or haven't really, like, sought out.
What music communities are you two a part of? And, like, are there any bands that I should link to?
But I think there is kind of, like, there are the pockets, but there's also, like, people that are involved in a lot of them. Is that just...
Yeah, that's true. The one that Caleb is pretty active in right now with playing in Soft Shoulders is, I would describe it as kind of the, like...
No wave.
Kind of no wave noise.
Yeah, noise based on what I know about them.
That scene is, like, just going to their shows is like, always, like, really cool to see, like, what's coming out of that world. So.
Yeah. But, I mean, I think across the board in most cities, it's still hard to get people to go to shows.
Yeah.
I think more and more these days.
Yeah. Have you, I don't know how old you guys are, but do you find it, even especially being musicians, that it's more difficult to go to shows these days? Like, for
hard
you?
To go to shows?
Yeah.
The only reason that it's hard going to shows is the family aspect, being, we're gone so many nights already, that,
right,
like, just adding more nights to being away from the family and putting the kids to sleep and stuff.
Yeah.
But we still try and go to as many as possible as we can.
Yeah.
I think it's hard in that sense for us.
Yeah. I'd like to go to more shows. Yeah. I've also, like, become a lot more anxious at shows in the last few years. Mm-hmm. I don't really know what's, like, started that, but, like, going to shows has, like, kind of caused a lot more anxiety for me lately.
Is that, like, the crowds? Or
I have no clue. I think it might be the crowds. I haven't done a lot of thinking on that, but yeah.
Is it because you're dead now and you just feel like
I feel out of place?
Yeah. And it could be guilt. Like,
no, there's definitely that. Yeah.
That's causing me anxiety.
Like, I should be home with my child.
Yeah.
I'm an absent father.
I don't have any of that, and I have a hard time going to shows. So I'm like, love standing.
Yeah.
why don't you just play? You're ready to play.
With
the waiting game.
I feel that.
Maybe that has to do with just, like, how accessible stuff is now. Like, our level of patience is so far down.
We were talking about, I think, this conversation you had with James, but I'm going to act like we talked about it. But it was kind of this, like, with the rise of streaming and Bandcamp and all the ways to, like, find music now, nobody really, at least I don't know a lot of people who just go to shows without listening to bands prior to, like, going.
Yeah, so much more when I was younger.
Yeah,
when I first got to New York.
Totally.
Because that's how you, like, heard, that's how you were like, this band is cool, I saw them.
Right.
Like, and you didn't have the opportunity of, like, streaming their music first.
Right.
Mm-hmm.
And so I think that, like, people are like, I don't like their songs, so I'm not going to go see them live. But,
yeah.
Like, even...
So many bands you, like, have to see live.
You have to.
Totally.
Yeah.
You have to, and there's also the, like... physical connect. When you see a band live, that they're, I think that you're gonna be a, like, a real, like, a more committed fan than just, like, listening to their single on Spotify.
Right.
You know what I mean? Like, there's, like, a level of, like, I saw them.
Yeah.
Like, I want to keep up with that. You know.
Yeah.
I think that that's playing a big part, specifically from what I can tell of people going to shows, is, like, I listened to it on Spotify and I didn't really like it, so I'm not gonna go.
That happened to me recently for the and I like was reminded of how sick it was. Like, I saw this band without hearing their music at all and saw them live and was, like, just completely obliterated at, like, how good they were. And then I went and, like, listened to their album, and I'm like, this is really sick too, but I probably wouldn't have gone if I listened to it.
Right.
But, like, now I, like, I have an appreciation even for their recordings because I saw them live.
Yeah, there's a bunch of bands like that.
Yeah,
and I've seen, like, open for people, and I've, like, purposely got there just to catch, like, the last couple
songs. Yeah,
like a jerk.
Yeah,
and I'm like, oh man, this was, like, really good.
Wish I would have come earlier.
But then you do appreciate the recordings more than you would.
Oh yeah, totally. And then I listen to it first. Didn't I hear? I must have been in a bad mood or not paying attention or whatever.
Yeah.
This is kind of a weird, like, this has never happened to me before, but a few days ago, I saw an Instagram story of a band playing live. I've never done this, but I was like, this is sick.
Yeah.
And I went,
that's
like,
I feel like that's
yeah, it's like a bad phone recording. And I'm like, this is really cool. And I, like, went and looked them up, and now I'm, like, sad I missed the show.
Oh,
you know, what I mean? So, like, that was, like, I guess that's kind of a sign of the times.
Yeah.
Like, with, like, discovering music by a live video.
I feel like Instagram, like, people talk about FOMO and, like, the weird shit that does to your brain. I feel like music FOMO is the one thing that it really gets to me. I'm like, why did I miss that show?
Yeah, that's true. But I've always suffered from that. Like, music-wise, when, like, I met, because I remember, there's one I still am so sad I missed, but this band, Lamb Chop, have you ever heard of them? They played in Tucson, and I was like, why, what was I doing that was, like, more important than
drop
going,
everything?
Drive 2 hours.
Yeah, exactly.
Cool. Last couple of questions. If you had to give a piece of advice to someone want to start a label, what would you tell them? Okay. Or it could be a lesson. It doesn't have to be advice.
No, that's a great question. I've had a few friends, like, talk to me about starting a label, and the thing that I always say is, like, this sounds really negative, and maybe I shouldn't say it on this podcast. It's very negative.
It's a great place to be negative. That's what we're all about.
It sounds really negative, and I don't mean it to be, like, don't start a label, but, like, just expect to throw a lot of money down, like, a black hole and never see it again.
Yeah.
Like, it's, like, I don't know why I wasn't expecting, like, how, just how resource-heavy, like, like having a label, like how much is involved in that. So I guess just do it if you're really passionate about it and like really really excited about the certain area you're serving or the community that you're caring about.
Don't do it to make money.
Every
label I've ever heard interviewed before, that's what, even like the really successful I say the same thing. They're like, don't expect to make money from it.
Yeah.
Well, it's like, from what I hear, it's like an odd time to be doing it.
Okay. Mm-hmm.
Like,
do you know
just
why?
I think streaming and like the way people listen. I was listening to this whole conversation on, I don't remember what it was. I think it was like a podcast or something, but they were talking about how even pop music is starting to morph into song structure and length of song to adjust to how much people skip songs on Spotify.
Oh my God.
Because if you skip songs, you become like a lower, if you get skipped over a lot, you become a lower rating on Spotify.
Wow.
So like, they're like trying to develop songs now that come in right away with the chorus, or like catch people right away and don't play out as long, and like, so I mean, it was all speculation. I don't know if it's true, but it kind of made sense. But so like, just the way that music culture is at the moment, and like, what are the focal points, and how, as much as people talk about hating streaming, there's still, we all still probably have Spotify, and we're all like feeding into it.
Yeah,
and it's like, so I think in that sense, it's weird. Probably because even though vinyl sales are supposedly up, it's very specific things.
Yeah.
It's probably people buying like Led Zeppelin still or something like that. You know what I mean?
Like Urban Outfitters sells vinyl now.
Yeah, exactly.
I don't know, but I also think that there has been a little bit of a resurgence.
Yeah,
and like three of us are sitting here, and we're like relatively young people who are into it. I feel like there's a lot of us.
Yeah,
but it's still a very small percentage. Population.
Yeah, and it's like super fans. Like like, I'm gonna buy this record because I love this artist, you know.
Yeah.
Which isn't a bad thing. I think it's really great. But like, we just don't discover music the way that people used to.
Right.
You don't go into a record store and look at the sleeve and read the liner notes. like
there are people
this
that
sleeve,
are still the majority.
But like, you're not like, this cover's sick, I'm gonna buy this record.
Right.
You know what I mean?
Yeah.
And so we're not like, you know, take down Spotify. Like, it's not our mission.
Right.
I could care less. But it is like a weird time to like, how do we fit into that? How do we market ourselves?
Yeah.
How do you present yourself to people and fight for the value of physical music?
Right.
And as much as we can hate certain aspects, like there's aspects now of we're in connection with people that I don't think we ever would have been.
Right. right?
Without and being exposed to subcultures of music that would have been harder to find at that time, too. So, I don't know. The relationship with it is different.
Yeah.
Totally. We're all wading through it right now.
That's true. Cool. Last question. What's something you're excited about today?
Just anything?
Yeah.
Well, I was really excited about doing this podcast. I know other people have said that on this show. I've been listening.
Few and far between.
Yeah.
A couple other people. Yeah. I was really excited about this. And then, I guess a shameless plug, we've been redesigning our site. And, like, really slowly but surely, like, because now I, like, have a WordPress job and I'm, like, learning so much about, like, building a good website.
Yeah.
So I've been kind of implementing that, and I've been really excited about how it's turning out. And, like, something I've been looking forward to every day is, like, getting that new site done. So,
cool. Yeah. If I can help you stand out, too, because a lot of record label sites are terrible.
Yeah, it's true.
We've never been accessible for mobile phones, so
that's
a big thing.
Yeah.
That's a big thing that sucks.
Yeah.
Zooming in.
That's like, apparently, people's, like, search the internet, like, 80% of, like, web search is done from phones now.
Yeah.
So for our site to not, like, be easily accessible on the phone is kind of bad. So there's a lot of things we're updating. Overall, it's going to look the same, but it's going to be, like, a lot better. Yeah,
it's funny. Hannah and I, the difference is, like, whenever we make a change, I don't like going to websites on my phone. I don't know. I just hate my phone.
Yeah.
I also hate the computer. I hate it all. But mostly my phone. So I'll, like, go on, like, desktop and look. She's like, did you look at mobile, though? I'm like, oh.
She's like,
she's always mobile first.
Because
she's a designer and knows to be mobile first.
Yeah. Yeah, because, like, I never thought about the mobile stuff because I do most, like you, I do most of my searching when I'm on the computer.
Yeah.
I don't like searching for stuff from my phone.
Yeah.
Like, I just Google things, and then, like, even that, I'm just, like, very specific, you know? So, yeah, building, like, I've been learning to build for mobile, and so I'm, like, getting pretty stoked about how it's turning out.
Cool.
It's going to be good.
I just finished the Dropout podcast.
Okay.
That was bizarre.
Was it good? Should I queue it up for my drive? I honestly think you should.
One of my guilty pleasures is, like, tragic stories and, like, true crime stuff.
Okay.
So, and I'm not, like, proud of it, but it's just something that I end up listening to a lot. So, and that one was just such a bizarre story.
Yeah.
You have to hear it.
It's like Fyre Festival, but, like, for Silicon Valley.
Yeah. Did you watch those documentaries?
No, I started and
I
was like too painful.
Yeah.
It was like too painful. It's like you can't, it's terrible.
Yeah, it's so rough. Yeah. No, yeah, Dropout's great. Another podcast plug, but, like, Live or Die in LA. Have you heard of this?
No.
It's
bizarre.
It's a new one and it's, like, blowing. It's blowing my mind. Like, it's so good. It's like an active investigation.
Oh.
Most of the true crime ones are, like, old stories that they're retelling, and this one's, like, happening in the moment, and so it's, like, pretty engaging.
Yeah. Cool. One other question I forgot to ask. Where'd the name come from?
It's, like, really silly, but there was this show called Moon Boy. Did you ever hear about it?
No.
It was on Hulu.
It was, like, a Hulu original a long time ago.
Yeah.
I might have seen it.
Probably in, like, 2012 or 2013 or something.
It's a show that took place in, I believe, Northern Ireland.
Yeah.
I believe so.
Okay.
And it's just, like, this kind of dark comedy.
Was it with the Irish guy?
Yes.
Or was he? Okay.
Yeah.
Yes. I heard him talk about it on a podcast and, like, watched an episode or two.
Yeah. And it's, like, an odd show, and I really liked it.
Yeah.
And, like, I've never seen Moon spelled that way. And then I was, like, looking at that, and it's, like, I think it's an Irish way of spelling it. So.
What is his name? This will be the second time he's been brought up on this podcast.
Really?
What's his name?
The guy's name?
Yeah, the Irish dude's name. Oh, my God, I know it.
He was in that movie Bridesmaid, right?
Yeah.
Bridesmaids.
He's great. He's in a remake of something.
But that show was so, like, cute and quirky.
Yeah.
Like us. Like Moon.
Yeah.
His name is Chris O'Dowd.
Chris O'Dowd. O'Dowd,
yeah.
Chris O'Dowd, okay. Time to get that straight.
He's rad.
Yeah. All right, well, that's a great place. Nice and random.